Now there was a Pharisee. You know what? Please be seated. This is a little long. It's two pages, so, for me, up here. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." And Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of the water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who is descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." This is the gospel of the Lord. Ha! I don't have to say, please be seated. So our text today begins with, it's the story about Nicodemus. Okay, here's my joke that goes with this today. It's not very good. So it's pre-warning. It's not Nicodermus, because then we'd wear him on our shoulder like a patch. Okay, right? That's all I could come up with. So I try to eject a little humor in there. Sorry. So Nicodemus comes to Jesus. It's really interesting. Nicodemus, you've got to understand, is a pretty important guy for those people who are Jews in particular. He is a well-respected, most likely, in the area, probably a little larger than it. He's one of those people that they go to learn more about their faith. So Nicodemus is a well-known, well-established, highly regarded person who amazingly kind of gets Jesus, right? He says something really amazing. He makes an admission to Jesus. It's kind of stark for a Pharisee to make to Jesus. "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God." We, it's not just him. There are other people that think the way Nicodemus thinks about what they've seen Jesus do. "We know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." They see Christ's divinity. They get who Christ is. And yet they're having some trouble because they didn't see Christ coming, right? They had the way that they've done things for years and years. And Jesus, this is still early on in John, but in Jesus' ministry, we start to see Jesus do some things that are really not part of the regular Jewish way that we do things. There's a lot of things that Jesus and the disciples do that feels like it's almost against. So at this beginning point, the Pharisees are trying to kind of figure out who Jesus is. And Jesus answers him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." And it's really amazing to Nicodemus that Jesus is making this strange claim. And what he hears is the word born and says, well, Jesus, so are you trying to tell me that a person can live and grow old and then somehow goes back into the mother's womb to be born again? And we hear that a lot in our Christian circles, this idea of being born again. That's not what this text is saying. Jesus is very clearly saying being born from above, which is different than being born again. Okay? Jesus is talking about something else. And he clarifies then, it's about being born of the water and the Spirit. It's about being baptized. It's about having a connection to a faith that is not from a lateral understanding. It's not from a physical realm that we all live in. It's from the water and the Spirit. And the Spirit is this thing that we don't know how it works. He says it blows. It comes in, it does its thing, and it blows back out. We don't know where it came from. We don't know where it goes to. Now, arguably, you can turn on the news at night and you can say, well, the wind came from the west. The storm is coming from the west or the east or whatever. But this idea in the ancient time especially, they had no idea where the air was coming from and air pressure systems and all that. And really, we don't have a lot of understanding exactly why those things and exactly where they're coming from. Right? The wind moves in a way that Jesus is trying to say is kind of like how the Spirit moves. And how through the Spirit and the water, there is this being born from above. We are not ourselves anymore through baptism. We are a new creature. We are a child of God, claimed by God through the baptismal process. So we have this leader, Nicodemus, who's trying to understand these things. And Jesus is trying to explain to him. But it's interesting that Nicodemus then comes at night. It's not just him. It's him and some other people. Why didn't they come as a group? I feel like they were like, hey, Nicodemus, we've all chosen you. You ever been not to a committee meeting and you come back and you've been chosen to do something? I fear that's what happened to Nicodemus. We need you to go talk to Jesus and get some things straightened out with him. Which is hard now because Nicodemus is really speaking to Jesus and listening from Jesus on behalf of a whole group of people. Why didn't they all come to listen? Well, Nicodemus gets a job and he comes at night. And then we have Christ as this light that now will shine in Nicodemus' area to help him see. Just as Christ comes to us in our darkness to help us see as well. So we have this interesting situation, and Christ starts to teach and try to get Nicodemus to understand what is born of the flesh is of the flesh, and what is born of the Spirit is spirit. And the thing about the wind that we talked about. Nicodemus said to me, how can these things be? And Jesus answered him, are you a teacher of Israel? Are you a Jewish Pharisee? And yet you do not understand these things. For Christ, these are the essential things to know about your relationship with God. This simple understanding that you are born from above through your baptism. Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. Right? A lot of times we talk about as faithful believers to people about the things that we've seen and we know about our faith, and yet it's very difficult for them to see and understand. So what's happening to Nicodemus as he talks to Jesus is very common. And it's common to us as people who go to preach to other people. We get that kind of blank look sometimes. For people who have never experienced the gospel or any of the teachings of Jesus, a lot of it sounds really strange in the beginning. And we need to remember that as we reach out to other people to tell them about our relationship with Christ and how they might come to church and be part of this body of people that come and worship. You've done it, most of you, your whole lives. You are cradle-to-grave Lutherans. Yes? Most of you here. And there's a very unique set of people who have never been churched, who might not understand what it is that we do in this place. You do what? And we hear about this in one of the scriptures. You eat someone's body and you drink their blood? Are you a vampire cult? Right? It does sound foreign to somebody who doesn't understand what that means to us, and what's happening in the sacrament of Holy Communion, or what we do in the sacrament of Holy Baptism, and the connections that we believe are being made and that we as a community help to foster together. And he says something really interesting now. Jesus talks about Moses lifting up the serpent in the wilderness. And this harkens back. I thought I'd talked about this once in this group, but I'm not sure. Moses at one point, right? So we're in the Lenten season, and boy, if you were part of the Lenten services on Wednesday night, this would be very enriching for you right now. Hint, hint, come to Wednesday night, Lenten services. But he talks about then, we're right at the point where Moses is trying to convince Pharaoh to let him go. So what Jesus is talking about in our text today is actually this time after the Israelites now are out in the desert. And they're walking around, and lots of crazy stuff happens to them out there. We hear about the manna story. And we hear about the golden calf story, and that's where the Ten Commandments came from story. And we hear about water from a rock story. We hear all these different stories. At one point, they're all complaining because people are getting bitten by snakes. Apparently, on the pilgrimage that the Israelites took, they went through Arizona. Anybody that lived there understands that? Because there's lots of snakes. But so there was, not really, they didn't go through Arizona. Somebody's going to go back at coffee with their friends and go, Pastor said that the Israelites went through Arizona. Is it? So they're wandering around the desert, and these snakes are biting them, and some people are dying. And they say, Moses, people are dying because people are getting bitten by snakes. And so he puts a snake on a pole, and he raises it up, and he says, I want everybody to look at that snake that I've lifted up. Don't look at the snakes on the ground and they won't bother you. Right? So as long as you're staring at the snake on the pole, everything's okay. That's how the story goes in Exodus. Go back and read it. Open your Bible. Right? So everybody's staring at the pole, the snake on the pole, and they don't get bitten. Right? In the same way, the Son of Man must be lifted up on a pole. And Christ gives us this foreshadowing. And of course, nobody understands what he's talking about yet. But Christ is lifted up on the cross that we might look at the cross and not be part of our sinful selves and be bitten by sin. Do you get it? That's the comparison he's making. This is what Christ, and in this case, this is what Christ will come and do for you. We understand it as people reading this text. This is what Christ has come and done for us. Christ has been lifted up on a pole that we might look to Christ to see God, and not look at the sin around us and be trapped and be bitten by that sin. So Christ is making painting the future of who he will be, and trying to, and it's no wonder Nicodemus is still confused, right? That would be hard to hear. But if he really understands who Christ is and really understands his divinity, that he starts to get a clue in to what that's all meaning and maybe what that will all mean. Which may be the reason that some of the Pharisees got so frightened and that they got so concerned, because Christ was really starting to make claims, even in the beginning of his ministry, that was challenging what the Jewish people had known for years and years. And the Pharisees and Sadducees, as leaders of the Jewish community now, are being held in question for what they've been teaching. But Christ says he's not here to condemn what the Pharisees and Sadducees are saying. I'm not here to condemn the world, but I'm here in order that the world might be saved. He says through him, because he's still talking about the Son of Man. He's speaking in that third person kind of language to them. But integral to our text today is that verse that I bet everyone knows here by heart and that we carry with us, which is an excellent verse to carry with you almost no matter where you go. Finally, it says, for God so loved the world, not finally, I'm going back a verse, but for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. So as we look at this text today, and we think about being born from above, looking up, and we hear the story about the serpent on the stick and that the Son of God must be raised up on the cross, the same way. This is all about finding our orientation to God through Christ. And the looking up at and not around on the ground near us, that our orientation for understanding and learning and being part of God's creation is looking up at Christ to see God. As the Christian family, that's what we do. We see Christ crucified and risen, right? And that crucifixion, Christ's life, death, and resurrection is a free gift to us. There's nothing that we do to earn that. There's nothing that we can't do to earn that. It's already there. It's a free gift to us. We, as God's people, God's asking us to look up, to see Christ on the cross, and for us to understand the world through his death, life, death, and resurrection through that cross, through Christ. And so we pray. Good and gracious God, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who comes into our life to help us keep our eyes towards you, Lord, through Christ, understanding our call to you. We ask, Lord, that you would continue to make us your servants and to help us to keep our eyes centered on Christ. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. As we continue with our service, please rise as you are able.